This Sunday, we're doing kind of a unique service. We're going to have a sermon that's a video and a live teaching. So Pastor Mike Meeks, who founded East Lake Church in San Diego, California, is going to teach the first portion of the series, and then I'm going to teach the second portion of the series. So kind of a creative way of doing it. So if you look at that right now, the topic this Sunday is wisdom. So how do we make wise choices? Great topic for going into 2013. So enjoy Mike for about halfway through, and then I'll come in and I'll teach the last section. Grab your notes, and here we rock and roll.
Do you have a friend who regularly asks you for advice and then does nothing with it? They ask for your advice, they want your input, and then you look at what they do right after, and it has nothing to do, just the opposite of what you said. They ask, they take your advice, throw it in a hole. Your friend is an ask-hole. That's my, make sure you're listening. And I'll articulate that one. People who are wise know when they don't know, and they go ask people who know. So being wise doesn't mean you know it all, but being wise is also understanding sometimes when you don't, and you're willing to go and find out more information. Now, you can get great information, but if you don't apply it, if you don't run the app, it is not going to do you any good at all. And the goal here today is not that you would get a bunch of information so that you would believe the right things about God, about Scripture. That's not really the goal, because you can believe the right things about God and the Bible, and what you've got is religion. And that doesn't necessarily do you any good, because there's so much more to this than just following a particular creed or a list of beliefs. Jesus taught that it was in this relational connection with the Father that we would see Him clearly for who He is, and that we would follow Him and apply the truths about who He is. Apply what Scripture tells us. Actually put it in play. Put the car in gear. That's what this is about today. Matter of fact, that's what this series has been about. It's applying. So if you want to grab your outline, what we're going to start with is how do I know what to do when it's time to decide? That's wisdom. I need some wisdom. How do I get there? And wise choices are not always clear, because there's always so much emotion that surrounds many of the choices and decisions that we make. And when emotion comes in, it's like adding static and fog. And it's hard to hear and see what the right path is, what the choices are. We don't see clearly, and we don't quite know what to do. And you take, you know, love or lust or money or crisis, and they're just tons of emotional explosives that go with that. And man, you light that emotional fuse and it gets real tough. It's not all that clear. So what I want to do, though, is I want to start with, before we get into this how-tos a bit on wisdom, and lay a bit of a foundation for what's really important before you get there. Before you can apply this stuff, there's some foundations that we need to lay. So look at the first verse on your outline. It says, respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge, or wisdom. Only a fool rejects wisdom and advice. So if you're taking notes, underline, respect and obey the Lord. You begin to see God for who He really is. When you have respect for someone, it's because you've gotten some insight into their character. You know more about who they are. And as you see that, you respect them. So as we begin to see God for who He really is, that He's not just somebody who is the purveyor of a philosophy. He started a religion. He's the Lord Almighty Creator God. And when we begin to see Him, there is an awe and a respect. And it starts there. And the natural application to this respect is to obey this Almighty God, not just get more information and fill more notebooks and, you know, fill in the blanks. There's much more to this. But, you know, why would I apply what God says is true unless I trust the God who said it? Now, you might not be a church person, and you're thinking, exactly. You know, why would I follow if I don't even know that I trust this whole God thing yet? Why would I do that? And you might have some Jesus follower friends who give you wonderful godly advice and then get frustrated with you because you don't act godly. And you're thinking, exactly, that's it. And you might be wondering, hey, you know what? Why don't you do what you say you believe? I mean, you're the Christ follower, and they look at your life, and they know you pretty well, and they know that you're not really doing it. And you're thinking again, exactly, go get them, Mike. Tell them. So if you're not a Christ follower, you're going to gain some insights. Maybe there's some things you're going to be able to apply. But for those of us who are Christ followers, we don't make this leap from knowing something to applying it without this respect, understanding, seeing who God is, and then trusting Him. We've got to begin. That's the foundation for being able to move forward. So, you know, why would I listen to Him if I don't trust Him? Truth is, it's easier to believe in than it is to surrender to Him. We kind of stop at belief. That's the difference between knowledge and application. See, there's the progression. Sometimes we get the idea that we just sort of stop at belief. I believe. But we need to go beyond that. That's part of the progression. Yeah, you need to come to a point of belief, and then as you see Him for who He is, there's a respect and a trust that grows, and then the outcome of that is obey. You run the app. That's what this is about today. How do I run this app? And what we're going to do is we're going to download now this program that crosses all of the topics we've been talking about. I think you're going to find it helpful. I hope you are, at least. Proverbs is a kind of a how to make wise, good decisions book of the Bible. Look at Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So you've got this respect that leads to trust. You see Him for who He really is, and then you begin to move into being able to make wise, godly decisions. Now, what I'm going to do is present you with a bunch of questions. And I'm not necessarily going to tie it all up in a neat bow. This isn't going to be the four happy hops to heaven talk. So what I want you to do is plug in, engage your brain, and think through these questions for you. Not for the person next to you or for the person who's not here that should be, for you. Apply this to your life. Think about it. Question A, what am I leaning my life against? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, what am I going to lean on then? You lean your life against what you believe to be true about God. And you believe what He says. Well, there's a difference between, well, I believe that, and leaning on it. I mean, putting it out there. When my wife Carmen and I were first married, we had a dog, Fred the dog. Fred was half golden retriever, half Irish setter. But Fred's brain was all Irish setter. And I remember taking Fred for a walk one day, had him on the leash, and I was going to cross this ravine. And it was a plank bridge, really good bridge, but it was like planks and then spaces, and you could see down into the ravine. So we started over, and all of a sudden, Fred's back here. And I look back, and Fred is, and he's looking down, and he's got that Irish setter look like, dude, look down. This isn't safe. Back up. Get out of here. Get the heck out of here. And I'm thinking, I do that. When it's time to step out, when it's time to lean, put all my weight on what God says to be true and who He is, I go, dude, wait. This is dangerous. I'm scared. Get back. Back up. Back up. Let's think about this. Let's consider our options. We need to slow down, God, on this obedience stuff. See, you lean your life on Him or on your own understanding or on your sources of information. It's one or the other. And I mean, Fred does this because he's stupid. Now, I don't know necessarily why I do, but I'm sure it's not that. There's basically two deals on the table for everybody. And you do make this choice every day. What are you going to lean on? Are you going to lean on everything you've learned from, you know, your home in Dysfunction Junction when you were growing up? Or are you going to begin to lean on some new information, some new ways of thinking? Look at the outcome of this process of moving from seeing him clearly to respecting him, leaning and trusting on him with your life. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He promises to tell you the wise path to take. And by the way, just because God makes something clear to you does not mean he made it easy for you. Sometimes the clear path to take is the one you really don't want to take. Sometimes the clear path is, I need to talk to that person about this. I need to confront a situation. Oh, no. God, why don't you just strike them dead and then I don't have to? You know, we try to, we're doing this all the time. Wait, no, I can't do that. So what do I do if the choice isn't clearly a right or wrong? You know, it's kind of gray. Not necessarily 50 shades of gray, but gray nonetheless. Difficult to see. Look at verse 6 again. In all your ways submit to him and he'll make your path straight. You see, first you submit, surrender, then it becomes clearer. Oh, I hate that. I want it to become clear so I can evaluate whether I want to do it. He says, no, trust me. You're getting a better idea of what I'm like and how I think. The words I say, you're moving into this trust. Now lean, and you'll begin to see clearly. I don't like that progression so much. You know, I'm Fred the dog. Dude. Well, no, Jesus is saying, okay, here's a clear thing, statement. Wait, I don't want to get baptized. My grandma will really be mad. Oh, you're Catholic. Me too. I remember when I went to my mom and said, Mom, I got baptized. I thought she'd be excited. She wasn't. I baptized you as a baby. And why do you need to do that? And I've learned over the years how to respond to that. And here's the response. Why did you do that? Well, Mom, I just wanted to confirm the decision that you made for me as a baby. You had her at confirm. Yes. Yes. But we see, we hold off. Well, I would get baptized, but I didn't bring any clothes. We got them for you. We're ready. Oh, but my hair will be wet and I'll look stupid. You look stupid with your hair dry, okay? So don't worry about it. Doesn't make any difference. Now, when it comes to what's clear and unclear, I'm not talking about stuff that you know, is very clear in the Bible. You're like, oh, should I murder him? You don't have to pray about that, okay? No. No, you shouldn't, okay? So that's not the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, clear or unclear. The question that I'm going to ask next is one that trumps right and wrong. It is a key to this whole thing. It's a question that if we'll really use the question, it'll save us tons of pain and help us to not drive our life off a cliff. I mean, nobody makes a decision, I'm going to wreck my life. You know, I didn't, you know, get up today and say, today's the day I'm going to mess up my marriage, screw up my kids, and get deep in debt. Woo! Yeah! No, you know, nobody does that. Nobody plans to destroy their marriage, but few have a plan to guard their marriage. Nobody plans to raise irresponsible, codependent kids, yet many parents are actively involved in doing so. Nobody plans to become an addict, but so many people have no guardrails or limits. Think back. If there is a situation, circumstance, choice, a relationship that you have some regrets about, this is the question that had you applied it then, it could have changed everything. I mean, is there any area of your life that you'd say, I'd really like a do-over? I'd really like a do-over on that choice, on that day, on that decision. All of us do. This is one of those questions that really is huge. Matter of fact, it's the best question ever, which is, by the way, a title of a book by a guy named Andy Stanley. It's a great book. I recommend it. It'll be on the e-devotional when you get that this week, so you don't have to remember it. So what is that question? Is it wise? Not necessarily is it right or wrong. Is it wise? Is this the best decision? Is this going to have the outcome I want moving forward in my life? That question comes from three verses in the book of Ephesians. If you're not familiar with your Bible, the book of Ephesians is really just a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to some people who'd been Christians for a couple of years. And they were struggling with some of their decisions, and they were living in this place called Ephesus, which was a pretty loose town. And so Paul writes this letter to them, and in the first part of this letter, it's like a catalog of virtues and values. And he's laying all this out, and they're stunned by it. They're like, whoa, they're doing this. Paul, that completely runs against the culture of this city. It's absolutely the opposite of what everybody else says is normal and fine. What do we do with this? Look at these three verses. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Let's tear this apart a little bit. If you're taking notes, underline. So be careful how you live in the decisions that you're making. Don't think that these decisions you're making right now aren't going to have a cumulative impact in your life. Be careful. Paul's telling them, be careful because it's easy to stumble. Be careful because if you're not on it, it's so easy to fall right back into old habits and patterns and ways of thinking. It's so easy. So be careful. He's not beating them down. He's trying to help them. Be careful, be careful. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Making wise decisions is not an accident. And often when we're making choices and decisions, we're looking at options, we do so through our own grid. When you're evaluating whether to do something or not do something, say yes or no, go here, go there, with them or not. You put it through a grid. And often it's a pretty simple grid. And it can go something like this. Well, is there anything wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with doing this? Now, if we're honest, what we're really saying is, if there's not a thou shalt not in front of it, then I'm just going to assume there's a thou most certainly shall and enjoy yourself. We just make that assumption. We make that leap, which really has a hidden question in the back of our minds we would never verbalize. What we're really saying, though, is how far can I step over the wrong line without too much consequence? I want to step over the wrong line without stepping in a pile of consequence. And frankly, we do that. You know, how far over the speed limit can I go without getting pulled over? How long can I indulge in an addictive behavior without becoming an addict? How long can I neglect this relationship without having it affect the relationship? See, it's foolish thinking. And that foolish thinking ends up in another question, and it's this one. How did I get into this mess? That's where it ends up. We don't understand. We're going, I've been walking this line. How did I end up here? I thought I still had a 16th of an inch. See, we're asking the wrong questions. And we need to relook at this. The better question is it wise? And if you want to foolproof your life, start applying that question to everything in your life. Not just your church life. Not just, you know, the Jesus stuff in your life. All of your life. Is it wise? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And folks, in this environment in Ephesus, it was, you know, pagan worship was the name of the game. As a matter of fact, part of the pagan worship service included drunkenness and sex. And let me tell you, the men of Ephesus were religious zealots, but they weren't showing up because of the music or the message. We won't get into the details of what they were showing up for, but we don't live in a morally neutral environment. What does that mean? Things don't stay the same or get better on their own. It takes energy. It's like my garage. It doesn't get cleaned or organized unless I put the effort into it. I've tried. I've tried to just let it go and see if it would get cleaned and organized on its own. It just doesn't. It takes some energy. And if we're not careful, things will fall apart. What things? Careers, and relationships, and finances. They fall apart. A couple weeks ago, I said that you want to feed the things in your life that you want to have thrive. But the reality is, things that are important to you, if you don't feed them, they'll die. If you don't care for them, they fall apart. There's different ways to live your life. And Paul is sounding a warning, saying, be careful. Be careful. Don't be foolish in the choices and decisions that you're making. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Well, I don't really know what the Lord wants me to do. And let me just talk to those of you who are Christians for a second. Yes, you do. Stop ignoring what the Lord wants you to do. Stop pretending that what God said isn't true. You know what to do in most cases. Stop being conveniently confused. Well, I'm just not clear. I need to think about it. I'm just not sure. Just not sure. Knock it off. Paul's saying, hey, it's dangerous to live there because you think you're in neutral, but it ain't in neutral. It's going backwards. You think by doing nothing, you stay in the same place, and you don't. You're acting thoughtlessly. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Be careful. Wake up. Be alert. Don't wait for the divorce papers to come to your door before you're willing to go to counseling. Oh, now I'm ready. I see it so often. Neglect, 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 neglect. Divorce papers served. I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do. And Pastor Mike, I'd like you to talk to him or her and fix it. Even though it's taken me 10 years to get it to here, I give you 10 minutes. Wake up. Wake up. Be aware. Porn is not a victimless entertainment. You know that. But we convince ourselves, well, it's not really hurting anybody. Really? The reality is that most of the girls are trapped, enslaved, in many cases. You know? Yeah, your participation is perpetuating their situation. And you've got to be careful. And Paul's not trying to beat them down. He's saying, just wake up to this. Be aware. Open your eyes to the reality. It's not really hurting anybody. How would you feel if it was your sister or your daughter? Not really hurting anybody, is it? Well, now it is. Wake up. And have you noticed that we never have to rationalize doing good stuff? Like, well, why in the world would I want to save money for the future? Or exercise and eat healthy. Why would I want to do that? What difference would that make? No. It's our bad decisions that we have to use this creative reasoning, so that we can sell ourselves and the people around us that, oh, this is a great thing. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Zero down. No payments till Jesus comes back, you know. Sometimes we're not trying to make a right decision. We're trying to make our decision right. We're deceiving ourselves.
So take your notes and turn them over. One of the safest places to be in life is to be able to see clearly and then just say to myself, I don't want to do it. It's dangerous to pretend or to hide behind confusion. It's a much safer place to say, I see exactly what I should do, and I don't want to do it. Because when I'm willing to be honest about where I am, I can shift from there. When you ignore things or pretend or make excuses or say that they don't exist, there's no reason to shift. So in a Christ follower, people say, well, what's the is there any advantage of being with Jesus? Well, one of them is it's safe to just say, I don't want to do that. I know exactly what I should do, and I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it, and no one's going to make me do it. Because if I'm there, I can shift. And look in your notes. Look at three different ways to sort of filter decisions. The first one is, light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? Now, of course, being a Christ follower is a combination of principles and being with Jesus. So it's not, it isn't just like, some ideas in a book somewhere that in our own strength we try to do. I mean, it's a combination. And the combination is, in light of my past experiences, and how Jesus helps us with that is we can kind of look behind us, and we can understand that that's a part of my life, and he can make it a benefit to us. Because without him, sometimes it's like, I don't want to look back there. I've got those skeletons in the closet for a reason, and I don't want anybody even to know about those things. But with him, I can look behind me, and it can benefit me. So here's an example of it. How would I look in my past and make a decision, help me make a decision in my present? I often get the question, is it okay to drink? So all the time, people come to me off to the side and where I work, and they'll come and they'll find out, he's a pastor of a church, and they'll say, is it okay to drink? And I always tell them the same thing. I said, you can't find a place in the Bible where it says it's wrong to drink alcohol. You can't find a place in the Bible, there's no scripture in the Bible that says you're not allowed to drink. It talks about being drunk, don't step over the line. And the definition of being drunk is it impairs your judgment. So you make bad judgment based on alcohol, and if you've ever been drunk, you'll do lots of things you wouldn't do if you were sober, which you will pay for and be wishing you didn't do after you weren't drunk, because drunk only lasts 8 or 9 hours, and then you get to deal with the decision you made. But it just says don't be drunk, okay? So a couple weeks ago, some guys and I went out to this bar, this pub called The Garage, and we all hung out there, and we all go out and grab a couple beers, and we're all hanging out there, and it's just the guys, and everybody's like hanging out. And this one, this one guy gets a full-on cheeseburger dinner. I mean, like cheeseburger, french fries, the whole thing, And then we're all eating our dinners, and he gets done, he has enough food, he orders a Philly cheesesteak, an entirely second thing of food comes to the table. Of course, all the guys think that's funny, and it was just a really good time. I mean, everybody had a beer or two, and it was just fine to do that. Okay? Now, if there was someone there that based on their past experiences knew, I always cross over the line. I have a DUI in my past. Or I drink too much. I don't know how to stop. I haven't become the person that can stop. Can they go hang out with us? Sure. I mean, maybe. They might say I have to avoid that spot based on my past experiences. Or I can go and I can just get a Coke. That's fine. But if they know based on their past that alcohol is problems for them, then they need to make a wise decision. They can't look at somebody else's life and say, well, they get to drink. How come I can't have a beer or two? Because you screw up your life when you do. You have to make a wise decision. Oftentimes, we have lots of singles at Eastlake Church, and so sometimes someone will catch me afterwards, and they always sort of go through the question. They're in a relationship that gets screwed up, and they're like, gosh, what? And it always, at some point, why do I always end up here in my relationships? So I listen for a while, and I get the backdrop of it, and then at some point, it's like I'll say to them, well, it's because you always start here. See, I can want a different outcome and not realize that I start the same place every time. And where I start is where I'll finish. So the first thing in making wise decision, in light of my past experiences, can I be honest about that? What's the wise thing to do? Number two, in light of my present circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? Life is seasonal. You know, when you're a parent, you raise your children, you just see the seasons that they go through. So you have little kids, and, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and the other little kids come over to play. And maybe you have a daughter, and she's like 4 or 5 years old, and, you know, some kid in the neighborhood, a boy, comes over, and they're playing in her bedroom, and the door gets shut, and it's no big deal, and they're just sort of hanging out, and it's all good and everything. And that's a season. That's okay. They're 4 years old. Everything's okay. But when that daughter turns 13 years old, and she comes home with this boy from school, and they want their privacy, you're like, I don't think so. You don't get to go into your bedroom and shut the door. Well, how come? We need our privacy. We're just going to be talking. And then you think back to when you were 13. You're like, whoa, I know how eyes grow hands. I'm not letting you have your privacy, because there's seasons. And we're the same way. And by the way, if you're a parent and you're not adjusting to the seasons, everybody's been dressing really warm in Salt Lake City the last week, but in the middle of July, you're not going to have a scarf on. I'm not even wearing a coat, because the season has changed. And you know, you can get so busy as a parent and sort of numb out that you don't realize you've got to change your season with your children. And there's key times that it's very, very difficult when they go into junior high, when they go into high school, when they come out of diapers, when they go off to college, and you start bossing them around. They're like, oh, excuse me, I'm 19 now. Those are seasonal changes, and they're the same things that happen in our lives. Before I got married, my time was kind of my own. I spent it however I want. I worked late. I went and played basketball with the guys. I hung out. I just did what I wanted to do. Then I got married, and all of a sudden, Clarice kind of wanted to know, when are you coming home? I'm like, well, what's it to you? Oh, that didn't go over so well. And I realized, oh, my life has changed. I'm in a different season now. And then we had children. And, you know, you're sharing the work of it. I mean, you know, and the season of having young children. When my when one of my sons was in the fifth grade, I had an opportunity to coach his basketball team. All of his friends wanted to have a basketball team, so, you know, the opportunity came for me. I could coach his basketball team. Here was the problem. In the season of my career at that time, it was a very demanding time. We're building a big church building. We've got all this stuff we're developing. The church is taking off, and you know, there's a lot of things that needed my attention. And then there's my son that, you know, wants to have a basketball team with all of his friends. And it was a the season had changed in my life, where now my son was old enough to do something like that. And in my heart, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be with him coaching him. I wanted to be hanging out with his friends. I wanted to be with them. And I had to, it was difficult, because I'd been on a long run of being able to have a little bit more control on my schedule as he was younger. And then all of a sudden, the season changed. And I had to make adjustments at work, because I was not going to miss that. I'm so glad that I didn't. We named the team the Heat, and we were the coldest team in the league. We never won one game. But I got to know all of his friends, and I got to know him, and I got tons of stories, and it was an absolute blast. And I made a seasonal change. Was there some pushback? Well, of course there was. How come you've been leading this thing, and where are you at, and how come these decisions aren't made, and, you know, all these things? And I just, of course there's going to be changes. Of course people are going to push back. Of course there's going to be consequences. Of course, you know, the laws of physics, things are going to adjust. But if I'm going to make a wise decision, I have to look at my circumstances right now. He's not a toddler anymore. And guess what? That chance comes once. I had to make an adjustment. So I'm going to ask you a question. Based on your circumstances right now, are you clear the life that you're living right now, or are you somewhere in the past? Is your head in the clouds? Do you know where are you at in your job right now? Where are you at in your schooling? You're not a freshman anymore. It's not okay to keep showing up late for class. You'll be graduating soon. Right now, how old are your children? Where's your bank account? Because you can make wise decisions when you say, where am I right now? Do you know what maturity is? It's understanding who I am at this moment. That's how you make a wise decision, based on your present circumstances. And if you're having trouble with that, a very, very simple prayer is just to say, Jesus, who am I right now? I'm not sure I know. Can you show me? He'll be glad to. Third thing, write in your notes. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wisest thing to do? When my two boys were still very young children, Clarice and I decided, my wife and I decided, that we wanted to save up for their college. We thought, well, if they want to go to college someday, we want to be there for them. We want to have their back. We want there to be some resource there. And so we started to save up. It wasn't a lot. We didn't have a lot of money, but every single month, some money very consistently, every month came out of our account, which is a super way to save, by the way. Oh, I'll do it. Get it out of your account where you can't see it. Then you'll have it. So anyways, and it goes, and it starts mounting up. We're going towards college. They get older. And do you know, for the first 3, 4, 5 years, it was no problem at all. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, the money would go in there, and the check thing would come, and I'd see the account. I thought, oh, this is really great. But after about 6 or 7 years, because now this is about a 10, 12, 13-year plan now, because we had a hope that when college came, if they wanted to go to school, there would be money there to support them and help them, not pay for it all. I knew they'd probably have to work, and we'd have to scrimp and do everything. I knew all that was coming, but I wanted there to be something. And all that did happen. We did have to do all that, but I wanted there to be something. Now, after about 6 or 7, 8 years, when those statements would come, there was a pretty tidy sum there. And I would see that, and you know what? You don't have to just spend that on college. I mean, I would see that money come in, and I'd look at it and go, I need a new car. I'd like to take a vacation, or a better vacation. My wife and I would like some new clothes. And you know why that didn't happen and there was money for them when it was time to go to college? Because I had a future hope and dream. It helped me make a wise decision. Don't spend the college fund on a new car, even though I want the FJ so bad. Because I had a dream for their future. Now, what's your dream? Because you know what? Sometimes our dream is stalled, postponed, or we lose it because our present choices do not align with it. I always say, you know, if you don't want to eat ice cream, don't hang out at Baskin-Robbins. What's your dream? What do you want to see happen in the future? And ask God to give you the power to make your choices today that will align with the future and hopes that you have. It's wisdom.